Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Fast Cash Call with Craig and Don. This is Craig Picard. Don Goff, you out there? All right, we'll just wait a moment for Don to arrive. But what will be what I want to talk to you about tonight, what we'll be covering is a private money prospectus that Jeff Lindahl sent out earlier today. So you should have received an email inviting you to the call and giving you the details of this document. So it's a private money prospectus. Now, if you don't have the document in front of you, it's okay. You'll still be able to hear and understand everything that we do in order to get all the details out of what we're going to share with you. But the most important thing is that you understand the process that we're going to be going through tonight, because I think that everybody is looking for ways to raise private money. How do you do it? What can you do? How do you start? Where do you start? I mean, there's 101 presentations out there, and is it right or wrong, or is it going to help me, or is it going to hurt me? People are going to say yes, are they going to say no? So I know that a lot of you have a lot of questions. You're unsure about many of these things. So what we're going to attempt to do tonight is to take a lot of mystery out of things and give you a tool that's going to really simplify your efforts. And by doing that, you will be empowered to be able to move forward and really be able to do well, especially in the money-raising area, which is what we're primarily going to focus on tonight. All right, Don, you on the call?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. So let me give you a brief introduction of some of the things that are going to be involved in what we're going to do tonight and set up the rest of the call. But, there's really some misconceptions, new investors have. And like I just mentioned, there's a lot of unanswered questions that you have, a lot of challenges that you might be dealing with, or things that are holding you back. I had this experience with one of my coaching students today that was just really held back by two things that they thought were true about private money, and they turned out not to be true. So it worked out really well, because now with a person, walked away from our call and was relieved of this great stress that they had, because they thought they weren't able to do things. So now, we removed that obstacle. My goal tonight is to, share with you information that is going to help you remove those obstacles that are in front of you. So, some of the misconceptions that new investors have is that they think they need a deal in order to raise private money. And that happens to a lot of people. They think that, how can I raise private money if I don't have a deal? Like, don't I need to have an actual, deal in front of me in order to do that? And the fact is, you don't. Most people do. Most people do have a deal in front of them when they raise money. But the cool thing is, you don't have to, and we'll share with you why, that's going to be a possibility. I think the other challenge, too, is that the process can move more slowly than many of you think or you want it to move. So you're not going to get instant gratification for the most part, the first time you talk to a prospect about private money. So, the first time you meet them, you're not going to get a commitment of money right there. Now, in some cases, you might, and I'm sure you've heard of stories where people, got these commitments of money right away, and that's great, but it's probably not standard or typical and not something that you should expect to be the norm or the standard. So you want to make sure that, the very first meeting, is really, part of a conversation. You don't want to make it into a pitch, but you want to make it into a conversation. Because, people are going to invest with you because they like you and they trust you. So your goal is to build relationships. So, what I find is, and what I helped this student with today is that they felt that, they said they didn't know anybody that had money. And I told them, when Don and I started, we didn't know anybody that had money either, that we thought. And even a lot of people that we did talk to said, hey, this sounds great, but I don't have any money. And we found ways to get money from these people that were interested, even if they thought they didn't have money. So the most important thing is, let's say you truly believe that there's nobody on your list. Well, you're going to have to go out and build some relationships and create your own list, create a new list. So if you don't have anybody that's, you know, in your current network of people, there's no one on your phone that you could call and thought might be interested in investing in real estate, then what you need to do is you need to start over. And you need to build a network of people. So one of the things I'll recommend is that, you know, do you have any hobbies or interests? Do you belong to a church? Any group or organization you belong to, that's a perfect place to grow these private money relationships. The best part about it is that you're not going there to raise money. You're going there because you really enjoy what it is that you do in that group. You know, whether it's a kayaking club, whether it's cooking, mountain climbing, fishing, a wine club, a cooking club, you know, whatever it might be, whatever hobby or interest you might have, you're going to start with the number one ingredient you need to build a relationship, and that's commonality. So first you need to have something in common with them. Well, you already do, and it's something that's not real estate related. So you'll already start to get to know them or know them pretty well because of the you share that same, you know, passion for something. Like I said, whether it's, you know, cooking or hiking or whatever the club is about. And now during that time, you can bring up some of your other interests and see if they have that same interest. And I know that, you know, in order to do that, you're going to need to have some way to do it. So how do you bring up that subject? Or if they do say they're interested, what do? And I think that's what gets people scared about building that list or building that network or putting that together. So really what we want to do today is, you know, to show you how to not scare away the prospects the first time you speak. So we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we send them running. We want to keep them attracted to us and help them understand what it is that we do and get them interested so we can go to the next step. We're going to show you how to raise money using a two-step process using a simple property package prospectus. And finally, show you how to get some soft commitments. And I'll tell you that it's probably that the last one is probably the most important because without asking for a commitment, you'll never get one. Just like if you don't ask somebody what price they're looking to sell their property for, or if you don't ask them how you could purchase their property or what price you could purchase their property, if I could pay you all cash and close quickly, what's the least amount you can accept? If you're afraid of those questions, and a lot of people are, those are closing questions. Yeah, and it can be a little scary, but you know what? You're going to learn those questions, you learn how to say them, and then you have to close your mouth. Zip your lips. And don't say another thing. Let them speak next. Because when you let them speak, they're going to tell you everything that you need to know. It could be an objection. It could be a yes. It could be a no. It could be a maybe. What you need to do is make sure you ask that question so you can get to that next step. If you keep talking, you're not going to get to the next step because you won't have the right answers. So our goal is to bring you through those three things, and like I mentioned at the top of the call, you've got the prospectus, so you'll have that we'll be going over shortly. So, Don, why don't you start off the process here?
All right, great. Thanks, Craig. So one of the main things that you want to do, we're going to try to break it down very simple for you, just because, like Craig said, you know, people are scared going through this process, and it is really quite simple if you really break it down into pieces. And the first part is we have to make contact with people. And there's really two different types of people we're going to be talking to and two different ways that you can raise private money, or the main ways, and that's with people you know and with people you don't know. So they're either going to fall into one of those categories. So the thing is, we can't talk to them the same way because I know a lot of people, or a lot of my students, and I'm sure Craig's are as well, they're afraid to talk to friends and family. They're thinking they're going to ask them for money. And that's really not the case. It's we're sharing an opportunity. We're sharing what we're doing. We're showing excitement about what we're doing. And we're really what we like to call planting seeds with people. So now everyone knows what we're doing, because if you don't, then how's anyone going to really know what you're doing and what kind of opportunities there are out there? with any business, you need to do that. You need to let people know what you're doing, and that's really how you're going to be able to expand. So with friends and family, one of the first things you want to do in order to initiate contact, first you should take out your cell phone and make a list of everybody that's in your cell phone that knows you on a first-name basis. Doesn't matter if you think they have money or if you think they don't have money. Doesn't matter. Write them all down because, we're just planting seeds. We're not just going and trying to find money from these people. But we want to make sure that we mention it to everyone that we know. And you just don't know what's going to come out of that. And I've seen it happen so many times where it's not the person that you might talk to about private money or mention what you're doing, but they might know somebody. So make that list, pull out your contacts, and then what you need to do is figure out how you're going to make that first contact. So everyone you could have a little bit different conversation with, and depending on your relationship with them, some people you might not have talked to in a long time. You might have lost touch over the last couple of years. Maybe it's someone you went to high school with, someone you went to college with. Doesn't really matter, but you lost touch with them. The first thing when you're calling them, you're not going to want to pitch them. You're not going to want to see if they're interested in what you're doing. Because obviously, if you talk the whole call and at the end you have that final question, they know why you called. So the first time is just building that relationship, building the rapport back, and they're going to always ask you what you're doing or what you've been up to. And you can tell them, but that's where you end it. So that's really important. So when you make your list, then go down the list and say, are you going to call this person on the phone? If so, when? Are you gonna try to meet this person? Are you gonna try to meet this person at a set up a meeting so you can meet somewhere? Is the next time you're gonna see this person at a family function? And maybe you have a family function in the next few weeks, a birthday party. Some of your relatives are flying into town, or it could be one of your friends' birthday party. Doesn't really matter, but that would be your plan, is to talk to them there. Because again, you're gonna ask you what have you been up to, what are you doing, and then we're gonna talk about what you're gonna say. And it's just going to be a conversation. You're not going to pitch them. You're not going to ask them if they want to get involved, because I know that's what most people are afraid of. So just so you know, that's not how we do it with friends and family. We make it a conversation, and we talk about what's going on in your life. So that's friends and family. So that's one way we're going to pique interest. And the other way is we're going to expand our network. Like Craig was saying, now this is what people we don't know. So how do you meet people you don't know? Well, you got to get out there and network. You got to join the clubs that Craig mentioned, like the church organization. If you go to church, then get more involved, so that way you can build personal relationships. If they do things after church, then get involved. Show that you're a leader. If you go to the gym, that's another great place. If you have, say, car signs, you don't just have to talk to people to plant seeds. You can have different marketing, because then some people are going to come and ask you. It happened to us all the time. So if you have We Buy Houses Cash signs on your car, then many times people are going to ask you what that's about. Or do you buy houses? Or people ask if you're a contractor. We've gotten all kinds of questions from that, but that's what you want. You want to stir up questions. You want to be able to start conversations with people. And, when I was at the gym, people all the time would say, hey, you that guy that has the truck with, the We Buy Houses Cash signs on there? So, and I'd say, yeah. And they would ask me more about what I did, and I'd explain to them what I did. And a lot of times they'd pique their interest. You got to remember, a lot of people have an interest in real estate. Most people make their wealth from real estate. A lot of people want to talk about real estate. So these are some different ways you're going to do it. So church organizations, go to the gym, join a men's club, a women's club, wine tasting, Rotary Club, charitable organizations, Chamber of Commerce. So charitable organizations, like Craig said, get involved in something that you have a passion for. Just don't go there looking for money. Go there, but it's just a way to expand network and have that commonality, which is really important. Chamber of Commerce, that's where other business owners network. Everyone there is looking to network and expand their business. So that's another great, great place. So it's not a surprise. Some of my students will say they go there, they're nervous to talk about what they do. And I say, keep in mind, just think about what everyone else is there for the same thing you are. So they expect you to talk to them about what you're doing. So another great locations, and people that run their own businesses or building their own businesses, they also understand they had to raise money for their business, so they understand what you're doing as well, and they could be looking for some different opportunities. Real estate club meetings, your dentist, your doctor, you know, the list goes on and on. These are just some of the places that you can meet people, but you want to tell everybody what you do. Obviously, if you're with the dentist, you can't, not while he's working on you, but my dentist always asks every time I go in, hey, so what have you been up to? How's the real estate business going? Or, you know, they'll ask you questions because I'm always talking about it. Or there's other ways, too, is you can wear a shirt that says We Buy Houses on it. Get shirts with your company name on it, things like that. These little things, it's just constant exposing people to what you do. So, but that talks a little bit, I wanted to mention that a little bit, how to make that first contact with people. So with friends and family, again, you have all those different ways, whether you have functions coming up, or if you're going to call them, or if you're going to meet them in person, doesn't really matter. You know, like I said, every person could be a little bit different, but the point is you got to get out there and be talking to people. So once you have that contact, what are you going to say and what are you going to do? How are you going to pique their interest? Well, like Craig was mentioning, no one really likes to be pitched. Friends and family don't want to be pitched, and you don't really want to go in and do that because you're going to feel uncomfortable doing that. And just know you're not asking for money, because we're just, the whole purpose of anyone we talk to is just to see if they have some interest, or we see if they had questions, because a lot of times they should have questions for you, and then get a second meeting. That's what we're really trying to do. We're not trying to raise the money the first time we talk to someone, because, you know, we're just building that rapport or just talking about it for the first time, and they're not going to want to talk to it for about 30 to 45 minutes, especially if you have like a family function or something like that. But like I said, you can mention it. And then if they show some interest, then you can always ask them, hey, would you want to sit down sometime? I can show you a little bit more about what I do. So So one of a few different ways that you're going to pique their interest or bring it up in conversation is that, you know, a lot of times you're just going to tell them about your week. Say, oh, I had a crazy week this week, really busy. I had to go see four different properties, real estate properties, and then they'll stop you right there. I didn't know you were doing real estate. What did you have to see four real? You moving? You don't know what kind of questions you're going to get, but it just brings up the conversation. So just talk about what you're doing. It's really that easy. You can talk about the news. You can talk investments. You can talk about the weather. College, doesn't matter. You're always going to think of ways to actually bring it up in conversation. I mean, anytime you can talk about investments, so if there's a big announcement with the stock market, or the stock market just you know, just went down, or it's been down all week, great time to talk about it and tell them why you're so glad you're doing real estate and, you know, diversifying what you're doing, because, you know, the stock market, you know, can't go up forever. So there are, you know, that's a great way to be able to talk to them about it, or to bring it up in conversation. If you just got back from a trip or a seminar or something like that, you can, again, tell them how you just got back from that trip and you just went to a three-day seminar or a three-day training. And, you know, you've been educating yourself for the last 6 months or the last year on, you know, doing real estate and how to flip properties. And, you know, then let them ask you questions. Let them get involved and tell them how you're, you know, buying properties and how you're buying them cash. And a lot of times they're going to tell you, if you ever say that to them, that you're buying properties cash, they're going to be looking at you and, you know, like, oh, I didn't know you had that much cash. Well, you never said your cash. But you're using people's cash. And then you can get into, say, well, what I'm doing is I'm, you know, using people that are looking to make a higher return on their investments. I'm paying them 12% interest on their money, and I'm securing it with a first mortgage on the property. And they might ask, oh, well, you're crazy. Why are you paying that kind of interest? I don't understand why you're paying that much. Well, it's because it helps me close on properties faster. Because when I'm buying distressed properties, I need to close in 7, 10, 14 days. And I can't go that way with the bank, so it works out great for me. I can close fast, and it works out great for whoever's investing with me, because, you know, I'm going to pay them 12% interest on their money. And again, that's it. Then you don't say anything. You want to see what are they going to ask next, you know, because maybe they have some interest, and say, you, or you can ask them, say, you know, how are they doing on their returns? and see what they say. So, you know, there's all different ways you're going to see how the conversation goes, but you at least want to start talking about it and planting those seeds. And because the next time you're going to talk to someone, then they might say, hey, what's going on with your real estate business? What have you been up to? How's that been going? And so, and then you can take it from there. But anytime you meet with them or you're talking to someone, you don't want to be go on and on and on. A lot of people are looking for a pitch, like a 5-minute pitch, 10-minute pitch on someone, and no one wants to hear you talk for that long. You just want to mention a couple things casually to them and make it into your conversation, and then be quiet and see what kind of questions you have. And one great technique that you can use a takeaway close. And what the takeaway close is when you're talking to somebody and you can, if they're asking you questions, they're showing some interest. A lot of people want to ask, well, hey, are you interested? Well, now you're asking them, you know, a yes or no question, and you're, you know, putting them on the spot, where the takeaway close works really well, because you can say to people, you know, hey, I know you might not be. So after you've been, let me tell you exactly what the conversation is going to look like first. So when you do the takeaway close, you might be talking about, you know, how you're doing real estate investments and how you're really growing your business, and say, hey, I know you're probably not interested in this, but who do you know that might be interested in, you know, making higher returns on their money? I'm still looking for more partners to do more deals, and, you know, who do you know? Don't ask, do you know anyone, because that's a yes or no question, but who do you know? So that might lead into another conversation, and they might just say to you, oh, yeah, my other buddy's doing real estate or interested in real estate. Or they might have some friends that have high net worth friends that might be interested, that they can at least set up a meeting with you. Another great way to pique interest is to say, if you have a rich uncle or a cousin or an aunt or anyone, even, you know, some of your close friends, what you can do is you can use what we call the left out. And you can let them know, say, hey, Uncle Joe, before you hear from anyone else, I don't know if you know, but I've been growing my real estate business for the last 3 to 4 months, been educating myself, something I've always wanted to be doing. And, you know, I've been talking to people about it, and I'm offering people 12% interest on their money. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know, you heard it from me, didn't know if you had any interest, but, you know, I didn't want you to feel left out. So, again, that's a great way to do it. It's non-invasive, and it's an easy way to introduce it to maybe an uncle or someone that has money that's always used to people asking them for money. They're not used to people asking this way or using this approach with them. They're used to just people coming up to them, excuse me, and asking them for money. So that's how you're going to pique interest with your friends and family. There's a lot of different ways to make conversation about it, and those are some techniques that you're going to use. Now, when you're out there networking and expanding your network and meeting new people, then you're going to use a little bit different approach. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to the network events. And again, you're not going there to get a yes or no from people. And so many new investors start out and they go to meetings and say, oh, yeah, this guy said he might be interested, or this person said they might be interested. Those, you know, and that's the only conversation they ever have. I have never seen, or very rarely seen, those work out, because they don't even know who you are. They don't even totally understand exactly what you're doing yet, and they didn't take the time to understand. So those people you want to build a relationship with, you want to qualify them too to see if they're even interested. I mean, to make sure that someone you even want to do business with if you're meeting them for the first time. So again, your whole goal is to get a second meeting with them. And when you're talking to people, you can't make it all about you. You're going to make it all about, you know, find out things about them. You don't have to be the first one to talk. And, you know, one of the best ways to get them to ask you what you do is to ask them first. So if you're in the conversation, then you're going to say, oh, so what exactly do you do? Can you tell me a little bit more about your business or what you do? So that way now they're going to tell you everything that they do. And then usually at the end of that, they're going to want to know about what you're doing. So that's a great way to break the ice and start talking to people and get to introduce the conversation. And just like with friends and family, you can talk about the news, investments, and work it into the conversation that way. So that way you can always put a twist on, you know, what you're saying, so that you can start talking about real estate. So if there's anything about real estate that's been in the news or, again, the stock market for investments, then you just turn it into, you know, talking about your real estate business, why you're doing it, and, you know, and then see what kind of questions that they have. So one of the things that you want to do is just strategically use what words that when you're talking to people. And one of the things that we're going to do, or I'm going to talk about right now, is the pitch, or not a pitch, but what conversation you really want to have. And it's going to be short and sweet, very easy for you to do. And so it goes like this. So if someone asks you what you do, you're going to say, well, I'm a real estate investor. I show people how to make higher returns on their current investments by investing in real estate. So let me say that again. I'm a real estate investor, and I show people how to make higher returns on their current investments by investing in real estate. And like Craig said earlier, after you talk, then you're quiet, because the question you're trying to get from them is, how do you do that? Because who wouldn't be interested in making higher return on their investments? So the key words that you really want to focus on is, or that you need to remember, because some people aren't, you know, you don't want it to sound rehearsed, and it might come out differently, a little differently every time. But you always start your conversation. Obviously, you know you're a real estate investor. But the other words that you want to remember is we show people. I show people, or we show people, because you want to make it about them and not about you. And that's exactly what you're doing here. You're not talking about your real estate investment, how it's so great, you know, getting the properties, you can make so much money, and going on and on and on, trying to pitch someone why they want to do something with you. You want to show them what's in it for them. So that's why I show people how to make higher returns. So, and if you don't want to use higher returns, or if you want, you can say diversify as well, because, you know, most people want to diversify. We've all been trained over the years that, you know, one of the best things you can do is diversify your investments. So you can say, I show people how to diversify their current investments by investing in real estate and still making great returns on their money. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do it, but the main thing is you've got to be quiet. A lot of people want to speak right after they say that to people and tell them what they do. So the other great thing about it is it piques their interest, because they still really don't know what you do yet. They know you do real estate. They don't know what kind of real estate and so forth. So that's what you really want to do, is because the whole point of that is to get a question on them. Because when people ask you questions, then they're paying attention, or they're psychologically, they're letting you speak now. Where if you go on and just start talking about your business and talk about it for 3 to 5 minutes, and then they might just tune you out. But if you do it this way, now they're giving you permission to talk to them, and they should be interested. I don't know anyone that does not look to make a higher return or diversify their investments, so they should be willing to listen or want to know more about what you do. So write that down. Remain silent after you say that. That's the key to doing it. All right, so now we have those two different categories, friends and family, and expanding your network by going to different networking events, talking to people, and telling them what you do. And now, once they do that, once they ask how do you do that, then you're going to let them know how you invest in single family homes, and you pay a first mortgage, paying 12% interest, and you give your lenders or your investors a first mortgage on the property. So that's it. So you don't keep on going. You want to expand a little bit once they say, how do you do that? So that way you can give them, you know, a little bit more information. But if they ask you more questions, that must mean they're pretty interested, right? So now your whole goal is to say, you know what? I want to hear more about what you do. And people don't really understand exactly what I do until I sit down and show them my business model. So when's a good time to get together later this week? Well, when can I take you for coffee this later this week, so I can hear more about what you do, and then I can show you on paper exactly what I do. So now you have that second meeting set up. And don't ask, do you want to meet for coffee, or do you want to meet, because that's a yes or no question. We always want those open-ended questions. We want to give people options so they, you know, it's a better chance of them saying yes. And by doing this, I'm going to go through some of the benefits by using this approach, by using that first step of piquing people's interest and then taking them for a cup of coffee. Now, if it's someone that you're on the phone with that you might have piqued their interest, maybe as a friend you hadn't talked to in a while, they asked you a lot of questions, told them what you do, now you might have to have a second phone call conversation with them, and you could send them a sample property package and do it that way. But this whole two-step process really increases the odds and increases the chances of people investing with you. And that's our whole goal, is to, you know, when we finally do get that property, that live property that we get under contract, we want to have people that are already lined up, people that are already bought into our business model. So let me go through the list of benefits of doing it this way so you can see why this is so effective. So the first benefit is, you know, they know you're more serious because you took the time. Because they took the time out of their day. And like I mentioned earlier, it's easy for someone at the event to just say, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, send me a deal. That's the biggest one you're going to get. Yeah, send me a deal the next time you get one. Well, the thing is, anyone can say that. There's a lot of talkers out there. But when someone takes the time out of their day to meet with you, the time's precious. I mean, that's one thing Craig and I always joked about all these years, is say one thing we can't create is more time. We can be more efficient with our time, but we always wanted to create more time. So this person took the time out of their day to meet with you. Now you have someone that should be pretty serious about, you know, getting involved. So the second benefit is you get to build a relationship with someone. As Craig was mentioning earlier, people don't invest with you or participate unless they like you and they trust you. So you personally get to know them. You get to build more commonality. So when you have in this second meeting, you're going to talk about different things that in your life, to find those common things that you have in common, such as maybe colleges that you might have went to. You know, you're going to talk about family and, you know, if you have kids and any interests that you have. And, you know, that's really going to help you build that relationship with them and get them to trust you more. And plus, you get to trust them. You're qualifying them at the same time as they're qualifying you. You have to make sure it's someone that you can work with, someone you can do business with, and, you know, someone that you really think has the money to invest and they're not just talking. So the next benefit is you get to build credibility. So by going through a property package and showing them, you know, and having a detailed conversation regarding what you do using the prospectus that Craig's going to go through in a little bit, is it lets them really understand that you know what you're talking about. You have a plan in place to do this business, and you know exactly how you're going to, the types of properties that you're investing in, why you're investing in those, and how you're doing your numbers. And so it's just going to build a lot of credibility for you by going through that and show how knowledgeable you are, and it shows that you act in a professional manner. So the fourth benefit is they understand the opportunity in the process. A lot of people are visual when they learn, and just talking to someone again, like I mentioned at the meeting, they don't really understand what you do. So now they're going to be stopped when you sit down with them and you review your model and you go over through a prospectus. Now they're really going to be familiar with it when they get it the second time, because one thing is a confused mind says no. So if you didn't have these conversations, you just sent up a package and didn't explain, you know, why you set it up this way and walked them through it. It isn't rocket science, but it's just the fact that you walked them through and explained why each section was in there, so that they're more prepared when they get it and what it actually means. Because you remember, not all these people, some might have real estate background, but a lot of people don't. So they need to know why the items that are in the package are in the package. So this is going to, and they're usually going to be seeing it for the first time. So by having and showing the sample package, now you brought them through that process, they've seen the package, they've seen the layout, so when they receive the real deal, now they know exactly what they're looking at, and they're going to feel a lot more comfortable than if you didn't use this approach. And that's pretty much what you're going to do. Once during this stage, you're just showing them a sample package of how everything's structured and things are set up and what you're going to send them. And then the process is you're going to actually get a property under contract, real property under contract, then you can create a prospectus using this template for that property, and you're going to send that to all your prospective investors that you've already had these meetings with. So the last benefit is the opportunity to get a soft commitment. That's what it gives you, the opportunity to get a soft commitment. And Craig talked about that a little earlier, is that a lot of people don't like to ask those closing questions. But by asking those closing questions, that's really going to know you have a solid person that's really interested in what you're doing. So one mistake a lot of people make when they're showing the sample property package and trying to get a commitment is you don't want to ever ask people, what do you think? Okay, you want to ask them, what did they like best? Or what's their interest level? And, you know, you want to ask them questions like, if they say, all right, yeah, I like this a lot, and they start talking and they're excited about it, then you know they're pretty interested. So you can ask them, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your interest level in moving forward? Or how much would you, what's your interest level? If they say like 8, 9, 10, then that's great. Then you're going to say, all right, well, how much are you looking to get started with? And Craig will talk a little bit more about that when he goes through the package. But those are some of the questions that you want to ask, because that's pretty much getting a soft commitment. They're telling you, yeah, you know, I have $300,000, but, you know, I would never did business together before, so I only want to do 150, or I only want to do 100. Well, you know, and then you say, you know, Mike, I think I could work with that. I don't get they tell you $1 million. You tell them, I think I could work with that. You never want to show your cards. So one of the biggest objections you're going to get along the way when you're doing that, because obviously you are going to get some objections, and is going to be, you know, when you ask them, the final question is there any reason, when I bring you a property like this, you just had a conversation, they told you how much they wanted to invest and how much they would like to get started with when you have a real property, and you want to ask them finally, is there any reason why you wouldn't participate? So when I bring you a deal like this, is there any reason why you wouldn't participate? And you're asking that question because that's the objection. You want to get all the objections out of the way right now. So the biggest one they're going to use is they're going to say, well, you know, I like it and everything, and I don't see why I wouldn't move forward. I just have to run it by my spouse. The most common thing you're going to get. So your response to that is great. That's no problem. Say, if you're serious about moving forward, why don't we, you know, meet in the next week or so I can show your spouse exactly, go through this, because, you know, if the guy's name's Mike, you know Mike, what I find is that, you know, people invest because your wife or your husband, they don't really know me, and if you go home and try to explain this, it's probably not going to work out that well. That's what's been my experience in the past. I'd want your spouse to feel comfortable with this. So why don't we all get together, and if you're serious about this, because, you know, once we do have a real deal, I don't want to have to go through that process, because, you know, we usually have to move pretty quick, and I want you to be able to participate with us. So that's a great way to handle that. So there's a lot of benefits from going through this. You know, it's either pay me now or pay me later, as they say. So by paying your dues up front and going through this process, you know, you're going to have a lot more confidence because you're going to know that you have people interested in doing that. And, you know, the other big thing when you're going through a sample prospectus, the reason we do this is because we're trying to handle all their objections, because they do have questions about things along the way. So as you're speaking through them, then, you know, you're going to get those all out of the way. So, Craig, why don't you go through the physical package just to share the layout with people and show them how to handle some objections along the way as you're going through it, so that way they don't have any objections at the end.
Yeah, you know, I think that was great information that you just provided them, because it really, you know, takes away a lot of those, you know, objections and a lot of those challenges and a lot of those roadblocks that we talked about at the beginning that are, you know, probably in your way and probably holding you back from being able to go forward and do what you want to do. So now, you know, now really the only roadblock should be is, what's this prospectus? So, you know, clearly you know what it looks like. You've got it right in front of you. And, again, for those of you that don't have it, you know, we can certainly get it to you after. You can call the office and get it. But you can still listen along and, you know, understand what this is as I go through and describe it. So, you know, again, the importance of this prospectus is really having something, having like a presentation or having something. And now you don't have to have a real deal. You've got a sample deal to show somebody. And what I would tell them is, you know, this is, you know, you can create your own sample, you know, deal to show somebody and say, you know, this is not something that you can invest in, but this is what something might look like. So that way you make it easy, so it's not, you know, and again, it's easy to make up a prospectus. You can find a property. Maybe it was a property that you couldn't come to terms on. Make up the prospectus, and here you go. Now you've got a prospectus that you can use to, you know, help them understand what it is. You know, help them understand and ask questions. Because that's what I'd rather have them ask questions now than later when, you know, when I'm at the point where I'm trying to raise money for an opportunity and unsure if I'm going to get there. Now I'll know that I can get there because I'll have, you know, a more solid commitment. So I think that's going to be the key thing. So in looking at the first page, so you see it's only 2 pages. We don't need anything, you know, 10 or 12 pages long. This is really simple and straightforward, and I'll talk about more of the pages in a moment. But the first page, real easy, naming your company at the top. And I think that, you know, at the beginning, I mean, if you're at the beginning when you wholesale, when you start off in this business, you know, I recommend, you know, assignment of contract or wholesaling. That's probably the best way to go. Do you need an LLC to do that? Not necessarily. Do you need a company? No, probably not. I think when you get to the point where you're going to be borrowing other people's money, you're going to be rehabbing properties, you're going to be owning property for some period of time. Yeah, I think it's at that point, I think it's important that you have, you know, some sort of legal entity, whether it be an S corp or an LLC or a partnership or something, just something. And the best thing to do is to talk to your tax and legal advisor to find out really what that should be and what it should look like. But in this case, you know, we typically use LLCs to do these deals. Every area in the country might be a little bit different, but so you'll see at the top, you know, LLC, you know, rehab project, two family, with a picture of the property. With the address below it, and questions directed to you, you can put your name there, your phone number, fax number, put in your email. So just basically a cover sheet, but there's some purposeful things here, you know, about the property. Now the next page is really where we're going to get into the detail, and I think it's most important. People want to know right away, like, what are you going to do with the property? How am I going to get my money back? They don't really care so much how much money they're going to make, but they want to understand pretty fast how are you going to get or how they're going to get their money back. So here's a strategy. On the week of July 31st, 2017, ABC Real Estate Solutions LLC will purchase their subject property. The plan is to rehab the property and sell it to a retail buyer. So exit strategy is the most important thing that you can talk about, and you talk about it right away. Because if you don't, what it is, they don't hear anything else you say. They're not focused on anything but, how am I going to get my money back? If you tell them right away, you're going to get your money back because I plan to rehab the property and sell it to a retail buyer. So now they understand, hey, I understand the plan. I now understand the process how I'm going to get it back. Well, how much money am I going to make and how much do you need? Well, the property needs approximately $25,000 in updates and repairs. Recent market analysis shows the house is worth $135,000 after repairs have been completed. The property value is based upon comparable properties sold within the last 4 months. The comparables are at the bottom of the page, and I'll get to those in a second. The investment opportunity is a first mortgage of $75,000. The note will be a 9-month balloon note, 12% interest, and a minimum of 2 months interest to be paid. So those were really, you know, specific details. You know, property needs $25,000 in updates and repairs. Now, they might say, well, you know, they might stop you there and say, oh, well, what kind of repairs does it need? Well, you can see, go 2 sections down, and you'll see we have a repairs needed area. So, in the repairs that are needed, first and second floor, you know, needs paint, refinish the hardwoods, minor cosmetics, needs appliances, you know, so we're giving them an idea of things that need to be done. That all seems pretty reasonable, pretty easy. Heating systems, minor plumbing repairs. So we're going to replace those systems. Some minor plumbing repairs, reside the whole house. you know, clearly from the front picture, it's going to really make it a dramatic, you know, change. So we'll side the house, replace the roofs and soffit, replace any of the windows that need to be replaced, and then you know, the garage and back, we need to put siding on the garage and replace the roof and doors and rebuild the back entryway. The landscaping, you know, some general cleanup, other minor improvements. There's not a lot of grass or landscaping in this type of property, a city property. It's a multifamily. So, you know, that goes over like the repair. So now nothing on there, you know, stood out to be, wow, you know, you didn't say I have, you know, heating systems, roofs. I've got, you know, to fully gut every unit. You know, you just went over the you know, cosmetic stuff and a few other major components that needed to be done. So that all can be, you know, relatively understood, and they can agree that even if they don't know anything about what the costs are in these contracting, you know, property repairs, they'll understand, okay, that sounds about right. Property value is based on comparables that probably sold in the last 4 months. So, you know, they might ask, well, how do you know? Well, okay, well, here are the comparables. So when you have specific properties, so all the way at the bottom of the page, you'll see 39 Raymond. It's a two-unit, has four beds. So if you compare it to ours, we've got the subject property here. We've got a two-family, and it has two on the first, four on the second. So it has more beds. You know, has one bath per unit, and our subject property has. Let's see. I don't think it says. That's okay. I would imagine, I would just assume that it's the same thing. One, you got to have at least one, so it's not going to be more than that. The living area, 2,500 square feet. On the subject property, we have living square footage, 1982. So ours is a little bit smaller than that one. Lot square footage is about the same size. Days on market, 13. So it sold pretty quick. So it's probably priced pretty well, or maybe, you know, priced right. And then date sold 4/16/2017, so just a few months before this July date. And it was the condition of it just remodeled. So we're saying that it's going to be worth 135, and something that's just slightly bigger sold for 148 that was just remodeled. Now, and then you can go down and go through all the other ones. I mean, even one that needed some TLC and was an REO, that was, again, slightly bigger, but, you know, took 96 days to sell. That's because it's an REO. But they got $130,000 for it. So even though it needed some work, it still got $130,000. So ours is worth at least, you know, $130,000. So $135,000 seems pretty reasonable. And then there was another one, needs work, bank REO, you know, very similar in size, a couple hundred square feet different. And again, you know, $135,000 is what they got. So, and it needed work. This will be all updated. So maybe it doesn't get as much as the 148, but it should get at least the 135. So that way you can show them, you have good comparables there that can show them that, you know, how you came up with your number and why it seems reasonable. And if you have some that have, you know, don't just get all the just remodeled ones, show some different situations. Inevitably, by doing this, what may happen is they might ask you, well, how much are you paying for it? How much are you buying it for? So this is a situation that you don't want to, no reason to lie here, no reason to tell any stories. You can just basically tell them straight up what the situation is. And you can tell them, you know, like in this case, maybe you're paying $75,000 for it. And they're going to figure out pretty quickly when that, you know, listen, this is, you know, it's going to be 100% financing, which is okay because maybe you're supplying the money for all of the rehab that's needed. So maybe you're getting it for 50 and they're supplying the 25 in work. So, I mean, those are definitely possibilities. Whatever the situation is, just be prepared to answer that and just be truthful. It may not be for everybody. They might think, oh, I want you to have some skin in the game. Well, I am going to have some skin in the game. I mean, in order for me to make any money, I got to do all this work. And I feel confident that I'll be able to get that work done, sell the property, and then, you know, we both make money. You know, and in here, we talk about a minimum two-month interest to be paid. The reason why we offer that is because some people are going to be taking their money out of an investment. they're going to be taking it out of, they might have a Fidelity account, and they get this money in there, and it's in an investment, it's in a stock, and they're going to have to sell that stock, and then, so if they do that, they, provide us this loan, and then, within like a few weeks, for some reason, maybe we sell the property. Maybe someone pops up and says, oh, I'm the next door neighbor, and I've always wanted to buy this property, and I really want to buy it, and now they offer you a good enough price, you don't have to do any work, no holding costs, no having, and you can sell for a profit. Hey, maybe you take that risk and just sell it versus, going on and having the risk of, something going wrong with the rehab or something like that. Well, now this person, took the time to get you the money, took it out of some investments, gave you the money, got it back, and they earned a measly, $100. Well, that's not going to sit well with many people. So instead, what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to have, a minimum. That's why I tell them, I'll give you a minimum 2 months interest. So no matter what, if I hold the property for a week, a day, a month, you're getting 2 months guaranteed. After you get past 2 months, that's it. I mean, if I sell the property in month three, which sometimes we will sell in month three or month four, and they're going to get their money back anyway. So it's going to be really important for them to understand that process and understand that, giving them 12% interest. And Don answered that objection before, well, why 12%? That sounds great, but it sounds too good to be true. Well, it's not. It's just, in the stock market, you can make, 7 to 10%. We want to pay you a return that's higher than that and give you a 12% interest because we need to move quickly. And if you're interested in making a higher return and move quickly and can keep the property, keep the money in the property for those 9 months. Now, someone might say, well, 9 months, it seems kind of long. Well, it's going to take you 9 months to do all that work. Well, no, it's not going to take us 9 months to do the work. However, what we plan, and this is where you'd want to lay out your timeline. So maybe you bring out an additional sheet of paper that goes along with your rehab that says, month, or day one we do this, day 10 we do this, and go through what that rehab process is going to look like. How long is it going to take? How many days is it going to take to do the rehab? Now, in a case like this, it's probably only going to take less than 2 months. This kind of rehab should be able to get done in 6 weeks. Now, they might be asking, well, if you can do it in 6 weeks, why do you need 9 months? Well, the reason why is because, let's say we can do it in 6 weeks. So let's say with a buffer that ends up being, 8 weeks or 2 months. The 2 of the 9 months are gone. You get the property, under contract, to sell. And then you're going to need another 2 months to close. Between inspections and closing, maybe you do it in 45 days, but a lot of times it's going to creep into 60 days. So if that takes 2 months, so 2 months to rehab, and you're going to have it on the market for some period of time. Let's say it takes 30 days on the market. Based upon the comps here, it took 13 days for a recently remodeled house, so let's use a buffer of another, 15 days. So now you've got 2 months to rehab, 1 month to sell, and then 2 months to close. That's 5 months right there. Now the thing is, we don't want to be in a situation where we have to come back to you and say, we need a little bit more time, because now we're in a kind of a challenging situation. Number one, your money is super well protected, but the problem is, now if you don't extend, now you put us in a situation where maybe you decide that you want to start a foreclosure process. Well, depending on the state that you live in, the foreclosure process might take longer than it would take to get the house sold. And in the meantime, now that investor spent money, on a foreclosure process instead of just making money on the deal. So what we'd rather do, the simple answer to them, you don't have to go into all that detail, but the simple answer is, we asked for 9 months because typically it's going to take less than 6 months. But we just want to have a buffer in there so we don't have to come back and bother you. We don't want to have you take your time to execute some more documents or have it cost us more money to have the attorney go through and update the mortgage. Because that's what they would have to do, is go and update and extend the mortgage, because this mortgage will be recorded with that date. So by doing 9 months, it makes it easy. So another way you could do this, you can even just make it 12 months. The fact is, it's not like you're going to have their money for 9 months. They're going to have their money until they're paid off when you sell the property. So as soon as the property is sold, they're going to get, you know, paid off. They're going to get their money. And that's, you know, typically the, you know, typically they'll ask, some people ask a question about that. Some other people won't at all. So it really depends on what their, you know, what their agenda is, what their, you know, concerns are about asking about that. Some people are going to get really, really detailed, you know, wanting to know what are you paying for the property and, you know, how come you don't have more skin in the game and things like that. So sometimes those people may not be the right person for you. You know, and if someone wants skin in the game, perhaps you, you know, there's a couple of things you could do. One, you could say, well, listen, I can put more money in, but then I have less money for rehab. So how about this? I'll put more money in, so it'll be a greater loan to purchase. However, what I will ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to loan me the rehab money. So I'll put in more money, but then you're just going to loan it back to me. But you can loan it back to me in draws, in waves of money. That way I can prove that I've done something, and then you know that that money is protected. And then you give me the money for what work has been done. This way you're protected the whole time, and you know I have skin in the game because now I've put more money in, and I'm only getting it back as I complete some of the rehab. So that's one way you can answer that that challenge or that question. But I just think that, you know, most people are, you know, if they're really, really hard pressed on, you know, thinking that this isn't, you know, this is too outlandish, you know, where they're, you know, they don't think you're putting anything in, and it's maybe it's just not for them. And sometimes you might say that, you know, that sounds like this might not be for you. And that's a great kind of like what Don talked about, you know. That's more of a push away, not a takeaway close like he talked about, but this is a push away. This is like, you know, I'm not sure this is really, you know, for you. And they might immediately say, you know what, you're right. You know, I don't think this is for me. And that's good because you probably just saved yourself some time and agony, and if it's someone that you know, maybe it just, you know, saved you a friendship. So instead, you know, they might have some people that say at that point, No, I want to do this. I just want to make sure I'm, you know, protected properly, or, you know, maybe the real objection comes out at that point. So, you know, and again, don't use that line too soon in the process. Try to handle some of their questions or objections. But if you get to the point where you feel that, you know, they're just really coming down on you, and say, you know, I just don't know if this is the right deal for you. And then maybe you ask them, if they say, yeah, you're probably right, you can ask them, well, why don't you describe a scenario that would work? You know, how could I make this? How could I make you more comfortable in this deal? And have them come up with a solution. Maybe something they come up with, you know, what it's going to do is it's going to bring out the real objection. And then maybe they bring up something that you hit there's no real harm to you and say, yeah, I can do that. They might say, you know, I'm really concerned about getting the money back too soon. So can you guarantee 4 months of interest? Well, sure I can. Me guaranteeing 4 months of interest would be no big deal. And even if I sell it in month two, which is unlikely, but if I did, hey, I'm just going to make sure I make enough money to cover that interest. Or, you know, think about it this way. Many times with hard money lenders, you're going to pay points. Well, here's a loan with no points. So even if I had to guarantee 4 months or 6 months, I'd guarantee 6 months of interest. Because now I'm building that into, and I just have to know what kind of profit I'm making in the deal, but I just build that in there. It's 6 months, so it's kind of like, you know, paying points. You know, that's 2% that you're gonna add, you know, to the average. But if you only have the money for a short period of time, that 2%, you know, it becomes a lot less. So now, you know, instead of paying, you know, 12% of the money, you paid just, you know, 12.5%, depending on how long you have their money. So, you know, there's definitely some creative ways based upon their objection. You know, the ways you can hear it, you can solve it. But again, you know, one of those things might be, how can, you know, what would the scenario have to be for you to be interested? How could we make this deal for you? It sounds like this one's not for you, so, you know, how can we make it more in line with what you're looking to do? And at that point, you're going to figure out whether you can do it or not. So, but again, the key is having this presentation, having this prospectus, this property prospectus, in order to have that conversation. You know, I think based upon our call tonight, you've got the tools. You've got the information that you need. Don did a great job going through and helping you understand the process, laying it out step by step. Now I just went through this properties prospectus. You know, yeah, it's small, it's short, it's sweet. But it solves a purpose. You're going to be able to get to the end and, you know, find out if they're interested. And not by asking them, are you interested? Because like you said, it's a yes or no question. Instead, what you want to do is ask, how much did you want to get started with? How soon could you, wire the funds? That sort of thing. Ask them a question that doesn't end in yes or no and get them to tell you, yeah, I could probably do it next week, but I got one question. Or, nah, I'm not really interested. Who knows? And you might have to go through several people to get someone to really want this or like this. But the fact is, now you've got the tools. Now you've got the information that's going to help you to get over these hurdles. So that's going to wrap up our call for tonight. Your job is to make sure that your homework for tonight is to make sure that you go forward and create one of these sample marketing packages. So create a sample based upon the information we shared with you and share that with people. Use that in a conversation. Get to the point where you're getting some soft commitments. Because if this is a real deal, yeah, they've got real questions. Because it's a sample deal, that's why you can use that question at the end. How much do you see yourself getting started with? What reasons, can you find that you would not invest in this? And, ask those questions. Get them to keep moving with you. So go forward and create this. Get out there and get in front of these potential prospects that are on your list. Use your phone, make some dials, and get people on board. That's the whole process. If you don't make the calls, if you don't move forward, you're not gonna be able to have any more money commitments than you have right now. But we've laid out a process for you and given you the tools to make that happen. So go out and make it happen. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.